Welcome back to Theology in Action. I'm Levi Hightree here again with Pastor Tony Caffey. How are you doing today?
Hey, Levi. Good to see you.
You as well. You as well. You want to read the mission statement? You want me to?
Please do.
All right. We'll grab it real quick here. So, we live to multiply disciples who love God and each other, learn from His Word, and long for His return. We have been driving that home, focusing on our core values the last few videos, and we've got another one here today, is growing with one another in community and fellowship.
Yeah, so this is the fourth of our core values. We've talked about proclaiming God's word with clarity and conviction, equipping the saints to follow and serve Christ, sharing the good news of Jesus with boldness. And now we get to a relational component, and also you might add the nuts and bolts of discipleship in terms of growing, and growing not in isolation, but with one another, with that beautiful Christian word, fellowship, the Greek koinonia, as part of that. So this is an important one, Levi, and this is something, as you and I were just talking, and as I was praying before we started, you know, church can sometimes be a lonely kind of activity for folks. They just kind of come and go, passing people without any engagement or building of relational capital or investment in one another, and that's not the way church was designed.
Yeah, yeah. So I actually have a family that wants to go to church, is a believer, but I see a kind of a spiritual attack going on that they want to sit in the back, they want to get in, they want to hear the word, and they want to leave. They don't want to be involved, they don't want to be part of things. And there's anxiety, there's obviously, you know, you can talk about on the natural side of things, but I do see a spiritual component of just trying to divide and separate from the church body in that. Would you agree?
Yeah, it happens. And, you know, there might be reasons behind that for some people. Church hurt is a real thing. You know, there's relational breakdown that happens in churches. There's elders or pastors who, you know, show themselves to be unworthy of the trust of the people. And so that takes time to heal and to recover from. And some people, unfortunately, don't recover from it. But we do have, so this is how I would respond to that, is people kind of share their reluctance to get involved or get engaged within the church. We do have these biblical expectations of us and this paradigm for the church that expects us to be engaged, expects us to have relationships and the one another dynamic taking place within the church. So even if you've been through some bad experiences, which, you know, that hurts, I understand, You still have to be obedient to the biblical injunctions that call us to community in the church.
Yeah, yeah. So I was going to bring it up at the end, but we're talking about it now. So let's talk about that a little bit. Let's unpack. I think the common pushback that we hear is, I can have a relationship with God at home. I am the church. That's not really my thing.
Yeah.
How would you refute that?
Or they try to replace the local church with the church universal.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I'm a part of the church. I'm a part of the church for all time and all around the world, and so why do I need a local church engagement? And at least one of the reasons why is that we have these one another statements in the scriptures, and whenever the New Testament uses one another, allelon is the Greek, that's code for the one another of the body of Christ. So that's not like your neighbor, one another in the community of San Antonio, or in our case, or the world. No, that's the brother and sister in Christ. First John talks a lot about this. And so I'll just give you some of these commands in rapid fire.
Sure.
Brace yourself for this, Levi. There's a lot in here. Love one another, John 13:14, as well as other places in First John and elsewhere. We have a command to honor one another above ourselves, 1 Peter 1:22. We have a command in Romans 12 to live in harmony with one another. Romans 12:16 says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. So there's another love one another statement. Romans 13, let us stop passing judgment on one another, accept one another. Romans 14:13, instruct one another. Romans 15, greet one another, repeatedly said, even with a holy kiss. Bear with one another in love. Galatians 5:13, be kind and compassionate to one another. Ephesians 4:2, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wait, there's more, Levi. Bear with each other and forgive each other's grievances with one another. So, and I could go on and on. Yeah. This is all from a Tim Challey's site that just lists them. Do not slander one another. Yeah. Hebrews 10, encourage one another in another place in Hebrews. So, I mean, how do you realistically obey those commands outside of the fellowship that God has designed the local church for us to engage in communion, this sharing of our lives together?
It's funny. I was actually going to, as you were going through the list, I'm like, all right, I'm going to play devil's advocate here and push back and say, well, a lot of those sounds like things I can just love people and not go to church. Then as you go down the list, like, well, nope, that one kind of have to interact with people and a church body to do those things. So the list kind of answered it for me.
Yeah, and this is my get off my lawn moment for our podcast today. But you know, there's a lot of, let's just say, goodwill mentality on social media where it's like, I'm going to advocate for some cause on Facebook, and I'm going to tell people that they need to be nice to each other on Facebook. It's very depersonalized. It's very, you know, just kind of out into the ether world of the internet. It's so easy to do that. It doesn't cost you anything. It's a cop out. And, you know, it's great to advocate for social causes on social media, but what are you doing in your life that's really actively engaged in that? And as a Christian, what are you doing in the local church that's living out these principles or these platitudes that you post online? Okay, I'll stop being the angry old man and just say, I mean, I'm serious about these things. These are important, and we need to to be attentive to them.
Yeah. And you and I have talked, and I believe we've talked on a few different points here and through different videos we've done about that's been part of my testimony and part of my experience of having gone the wrong way and justified, I'm busy, I'm this, that, the other, and not been and as active a member of a church body as I needed to, and it created a lot of blind spots. And if I could use any type of analogy, there's a lot you could go to, but just using like a boxing or a fighting style or any sport really analogy, they have a person in their corner and they're pointing out, hey, you need to do this, you're doing this. And a lot of the times they're pointing out things that the boxer, the expert, isn't seeing that they're doing, and they're pointing out their blind spots. I think that's a purpose of, or a benefit of being a part of a church body as well.
Yeah. We're designed to be relational creatures, and that's part of our makeup. And then supernaturally, I would say spiritually, as we're born again, that's part of our makeup as well, because we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and part of that involves this desire to gather with those who are also filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not the only thing that we do. Obviously, we want to be active in evangelism, so see the previous core value for that. But there is that longing for what I would call the gathering, the people who come together to worship God, to encourage one another, the teaching of the Word. Those things are so precious to me within the life of the church. Obviously, I've given myself to these things, but I'm not— you know, I wasn't born a pastor, as I like to say. You know, I was the beneficiary of these things growing up in a church. And then as a young man, before I went to seminary and was called into ministry, you know, I've been somebody who's been blessed by engagement within the church. No, it hasn't always been perfect. Sure. And yes, I've gotten hurt. And yes, there's messy people that show up at church, and we're called to love them. But the benefits of that, in my experience, so far outweigh the negatives that I want to advocate it for other people.
And in this day and age, you hear a lot of people kind of lean on the introvert-extrovert side of things, and they use the "I'm an introvert" as an excuse to not do that. And I've said openly I am an introvert, but introvert doesn't mean I don't like people or I don't need or want to be around people. It's kind of a justification people use. It's to be comfortable at home and away from people.
Right.
Because I find even coming here and having these conversations, they're energizing, they're edifying, they're encouraging, and I feel better after being a part of the body, and I'm an introvert. So I hear that used a lot, and I see it as just another cop-out to want to stay comfortable in the swaller maybe that they're in.
And there's probably a greater need if you have that tendency to be intentional about meeting with people. An introvert, I'd be careful with that term. That doesn't mean misanthrope.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean you hate people.
Exactly.
It means that you just have a different way in which you engage and draw energy with or without people. But even the most highly introverted people that I know need and desire even relational opportunities to grow with other people.
So. Absolutely. So let's dig into that. What's the primary focus of the word grow there? What do we mean in that?
Yeah, so let's tie that back into discipleship as kind of the overarching mission statement for our church body. We're making disciples, we're growing disciples, we're maturing in Christ. And one of the mechanisms that God has given us to do that is church. And church is more than just the pastor coming and preaching at people, thou shalt not. There's the relational dynamic that's part of that. There's the iron sharpening iron, as we see in the book of Proverbs, as we're propelling one another forward, as we're using the gifts that we have within the church, leveraging that for the edification of the church. So all of that is part of the spiritual growth plan that God has for the disciple. And so that is how we come to church. That's why we come to church. We're not also just looking to grow, you know, feed me. You know, we're also looking to use our gifts and to benefit other people. And that actually mysteriously helps accelerate our growth and our discipleship path. So so all of that is wrapped up in this broader concept, the word fellowship. And we are, so just to be clear, verse-by-verse fellowship. We're not just a people that get up and do expository preaching, everybody goes home, and that's it. Mm-hmm. We're committed to verse-by-verse preaching. We're committed to the exposition of the Scriptures. But that's in the context of our church family, our fellowship, our people that are committed to one another within the church body.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And we talk a lot online, and if you don't get to come to the church, you may not see it, but we've got so many small groups and so many different days of the week. There's always groups of people in here talking. I open the door and see different people in here all the time, and it's encouraging to see.
Yeah. Good.
So let's kind of go back to playing devil's advocate maybe a little bit, and the person you talked about, church hurt. What would be your encouragement to them? It's easy to say, well, it's important. We need to get there, but what are some steps? How do we get that person to feel comfortable?
Yeah, that's good. And so just talking this through, even we've talked to Kyle a little bit about this and kind of knowing that there are people that have been through some hard times or people who might express their lacking need for church community because they can read the Bible on their own. They can listen to podcasts on their own. They can listen to the greatest preachers who ever lived, but without even leaving their home space. So why attend a church? Why gather? Why go through the risk? And there is a risk involved in making relationships at church. So there are things that you can do on your own. There's other things that you can't. We talked about the one another's and the importance of that. But there's also there's something significant, even in the church hurt, of going through what you might call relational sanctification, because we are broken people. We live in a broken world, and you know, we'll go to church, and people will hurt our feelings, or we'll have to work through conflicts, or in some cases, there are instances where a serious, like Judas-type situation happens where you get backstabbed or somebody turns out to be a wolf in sheep's clothing within the church. All of these things happen. I've seen this happen as a pastor repeatedly, and is you might ask, is it worth it? I think Philip Yancey even has a book entitled, Is Church Worth It? Or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I would say, yes, embrace, lean into even the opportunity there for your own sanctification as you are challenged by the messiness of those relational dynamics. Because, you know, if you're looking for a perfect church or for perfect people, it ain't going to happen. And if you show up at a church, you and your imperfection are going to make it imperfect. So yeah. I think that's an old Spurgeon quote. You know, it is, I know, a hard thing to process what you would – really, the issue is forgiveness. Mm. I was hurt. I went through a situation where somebody – I got scarred at church. It might have even been a pastor who did something that's you're having a hard time forgiving. But my encouragement in that is to go through the process of forgiveness, to as Christ has forgiven us, we're called to forgive other people, whoever that might be, and then re-engage. And if you need to do it slowly, in terms of just dipping your foot into a come to church and be a part of the worship and praise God with other people, and then moving from there to a next step, which would be involvement, starting to serve and use your gifts, then, slow movement towards that, I would encourage and allow the Lord to walk you through a healing process. And let me say this, too. I mean, there's always a danger in being there's that danger, I think, the church hurt danger, but there's also like a selfish component to that as well that you really have to mortify. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing about this person once who went to a Saturday night service at a church, and then they were thinking about suspending the Saturday night church, and he kind of pitched a fit because he's like, I love Saturday night. I go to church, I sit, I hear my favorite preacher, and then I take my wife out to dinner afterwards, and it's perfect. And I just remember the elders deliberating over this. Is that what church is about? You know, you go and you listen to the preacher and take your wife out to dinner. Like, it's got to be more than that.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, on both sides of that, on the church hurt side and then on the kind of the selfish, I just go to church in order to get what I need. I think those need to be challenged biblically because of the importance of relationships, of the fellowship, and of what God wants. And it's worth it to strive for the ideal. I know that churches don't always meet that ideal. We're certainly not a perfect church, but even in the midst of the imperfection, God's goodness is present there.
Yeah, Kyle kind of pointed out, and I think you touched on it as well, is that in that is sanctification, and there's growth in, and it's hard to hear and hard to want to do when you're in the middle of that hurt, in the middle of that process, but God is putting a situation in front of you that grow in patience, grow in forgiveness, grow in humility, not being selfish. There's opportunity for growth even in those challenging things as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good point.
It's not unlike a nuclear family, the church family. So a nuclear family needs to forgive even hard things, marriages, et cetera. And that's true in the church community as well.
Absolutely. As we wrap up, this is the prime one for you to give your tagline. Any good go-to-church thoughts here?
Maybe I'll change it up a little bit.
Okay.
Serve at church.
Yeah,
use your gifts for the benefit of others, and let's maybe use some of the biblical language. You know, love one another, encourage one another, serve one another, be kind and compassionate to one another. Maybe even take your Bible and do a search in the New Testament for all the one another's and commit them to memory or post them up somewhere in your house so that you can circle back with them and start to activate them in your life and in your local church.
Yeah, I like it. Thank you for your time. Had blast talking about this, as always. I know it's kind of, we got into some heavier aspects of it, but I love to dig into that. If you all are interested in anything else we do as Verse by Verse Fellowship, you can check us out at vbvf.org to check out our live streams on Wednesdays and Sundays. We do also have a lot of videos available on YouTube through Theology in Action. If you're at a place that you are in church and you're looking for a little bit more, we did a video on discipleship. Maybe that's your next step. Maybe you're looking for mentoring or discipleship. You can check that video out here. Till next time, God bless.